Come and see. Come and see what God has done. Many years ago, we had a vacation Bible school, and one of the songs was, "Come and see what God has done." And everybody would just be, and those children were echoing and singing, "Come and see what is going on." How would your life be different if you were not a Christian? For some of us who have lived surrounded by Christian people, it's hard to imagine. But what if you had no interest in God? The majesty of the beauty around you that you just have, that you just thought it happened. How would your life be less or more or just the same? Lots of questions in this sermon this morning. Lots of questions for us to ponder. Lots of questions for us to think about. What would you miss about church? A friend of mine once said that he would never sing out loud in public were it not for church on Sunday morning. So he said, because you're not going to hear me. Which of your friends would not be your friends if you had never met the people that you have met in Sunday school? How great a loss would that be in your life? How would your family change? How would you spend your time differently? Would you be at home this morning reading the News and Observer right now? Think about it. What would you do because you are a Christian that makes you happy? Which religious activities could you do without? What would be easier if you weren't a Christian? Do you feel good about the time that you spend helping strangers? Do you still wish that you had all that money that you had given away in your life to various people and various charities and various organizations? Have there been experiences that you would hate to have missed? Think about it. Hope-filled books. Are you glad that you read them? Experiences of God's grace and worship. Times that you've cared for hurting people. If you were not a Christian, would your life be less interesting? You see, every once in a while, the disciples thought about how different their lives would have been if they had never met Jesus. It started so quickly. You see, John the Baptizer is standing with two of his own students, his own disciples, when Jesus walks by. And John says, "That's the one." And John says to himself, you know how cocky I can be and how arrogant I can be, because John was. John was arrogant and John was cocky. He knew what he knew. He was it. He was loud. He was vivacious. He was out there. He was the one in charge. He says, "But I, John, am not worthy to tie his sandals." The two disciples are understandably curious. They're wondering what's going on when John says this, and they start following Jesus. He turns and he asks them, and he says, "What are you looking for?" And they answer nervously, "We thought that we would see where you're staying at." In other words, we don't have anything better to do. So we're wondering what you're doing. Have you ever had nothing better to do, so you decided to go to somewhere else? Have you? Sometimes we do. We say, "Well, I ain't got nothing better else to do, so I reckon I'll go." I had somebody tell me that one time when I invited them to church. I was, "Well, I ain't got nothing else better to do. I reckon I'll just go." And they did. Jesus offers the invitation that will change their lives, though. He says, "Come and see. Come and see." They stay with Jesus all day because he's interesting. Something they thought was not going to be all that interesting. They're just curious. It's interesting. They have no idea what they are getting themselves into, though. They don't know that they will end up leaving behind their nets, their boats, their homes and families, their friends, their work, their retirements. They leave everything behind, and they will end up changing their ideas about almost everything around them. You see, Andrew goes and he gets his brother. "You have got to come and see this guy," he says. "You just got to come and see him." So Simon is dragged along, going more so that his brother will leave him alone than out of any great faith. He says, "All right, I'll go, come." And when Jesus meets Simon, He says to him, your name is going to be the rock. Your name is changing. He changes his name to Cephas, to the rock. The often confused Simon is anything but a rock. But everything is starting to change in his life. For you see, when he begins to follow Jesus, things change. Most of the time we move towards God in very small steps, taken out of curiosity more than out of faith. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for in worship today? That's been a question that's been asked by lots of people on lots of committees and over the past several months, past few years. What are we looking for in worship today? Why did we come to church this morning? Some of us are here because our parents didn't give us a choice. Some of us are here because somewhere in the back of our minds, years later, we still hear our mother's voice in our heads telling us to go to church. We know that we're supposed to go. And we can't get rid of it. We know it's there. Some of us are here because it's easier to come than to argue with a spouse about it. Some of us are here because we want to be here. Some of us are here out of habit. Some of us are here out of faith. But most of us didn't come with great expectations this morning. Most of us don't get up and come to church with great expectations. The religious reasons we have for being here are mixed at best. We're interested in thinking about how we would live better lives, but only up to just a point. We want to know how to do things better. We want to know all this stuff. But yet when we get the answers and we know what's right, we're like, well, you know, if I do that, you know, things are really going to change. And I'm going to have to give something up. And I'm going to have to, you know, get more involved. And I just don't know if I can do that or not. We follow up to a point. If we're in worship today for no good reason, that's okay. Lots of people find their way to church by accident. Jesus says, come and see. The disciples stumble along, following without knowing where they are going, discovering well after the fact that they have wandered onto a path that leads to grace. A path that leads to grace. Come and see, Jesus says. And in John's Gospel this morning, the disciples soon taste water that is turned into wine. Watch in horror as Jesus clears the temple and listen with amazement to Jesus' words to Nicodemus, that the Spirit of God blows wherever it will. They stumble onto a way of life that they have never in their life imagined. They begin to follow, they begin to listen, they begin to be obedient. And yet, in the midst of it all, they still don't understand. But they're being faithful. What are you looking for? Deep in our souls, we are looking for something to believe in and to hold on to. Something important enough to live for. Something big enough to claim our passions. We are looking for challenge and purpose. We are looking for God. We are looking for God. What begins with curiosity becomes a step towards grace. The emptiness that we feel from time to time is God calling us to the paths that lead to meaning. God lets us know that we can look beyond our computers and our coffee cups into the enchanted possibilities of grace. God is the one who makes us long for something that lasts. God draws us toward life even when we don't recognize what's happening. Come and see is how the disciples' story begins. It says, come and see. Come follow me. Come see what I'm doing. It's a wonderful line and a great way to start a story. Come and see. We all want to see. We want to see new things, new experiences. Think about it. What happens when somebody brings a new baby into the room? Let me see. Everybody's looking. What happens when your cat or dog has new little puppies? Everybody's kittens. You're like, let's look at the little ones. Everybody wants to come see. And then what do you want to do? You want to touch them. and you want to hold them, and you want to feel them, and you want to love them. Jesus says, come and see. It's that invitation to explore, to discover, to travel without knowing exactly where we are going. But to know that if we catch a glimpse of God, we will also catch a glimpse of who we can be. Come and see. Come and look for places where we've never been. Come and see what it means to hope, to believe, and to follow. We are in church to open ourselves up to God, who will lead us to new places. The people who follow Jesus end up doing things that Jesus did. They care for hurting people. They listen to the lonely. They feed the hungry. They pray for the brokenhearted. They bandage those who are wounded. They do more than is expected. They look for God and find extraordinary lives. You see, the spirit of adventure is what calls us to worship. We come to seek the meaning of life, join the people on a journey, and ask God to help us see where grace invites us. We are here to look at the gifts we've been given and the needs of this world that we live in. We come to this place to discover the possibilities that are out there. If we worship God, if we share our lives with other people looking for God, we will see beyond what we have assumed. If we look for God, we will find that God is looking for us, offering us life. You see, to God, the God of all creation, speaks to all of us this day. He says, come and see, come and taste, come and hear, come and believe. Come be a part of something that is life-changing. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day that you've allowed us this morning to come and see what you have done, to be invited to the beginning of coming and doing and being a part of all that is within us. Lord, we thank you so much for this day that you give us such life, that we can have life eternal, that the beginning of it is so easy, and we begin to follow. We're taking baby steps along the way. And each and every day we grow stronger and stronger. And sometimes we get discouraged along our path. Sometimes we get wearied. We get worried. We get troubled. We allow things of this world to interfere, and we start looking at that a little bit more than we do our faith. And we begin to pass judgment. We begin to make accusations. We begin to hurt others along the way. And then sometimes, Lord, we just have to stop and to regroup sometimes, to refocus what we are doing, to get our eyes back on you. We have to start looking back and say, okay, come and see. Let's start looking back at God's Word. Let's start looking back at all that He has invited us to be and do. Let's stop hurting each other. Let's stop looking for someone else to be the problem. Let's start looking at ourselves a little closer, and let's start taking responsibility for our own actions. So, Lord, this day, I ask you to be with all of us as we each and every day renew that faith, renew that step of coming and seeing, of drawing closer, of wanting to know you a little better, a little deeper, a little longer. So, Lord, this day, invite into our hearts and our minds that which we know is you. As we come and see, come and taste, come and hear, come and believe. Amen. Our response this morning is hymn number 558, We Are the Church. The altar is always open. Hymn number 558. We are the church. Stand as we sing.